All right, good morning and welcome to Holding Fast the Faithful Word, a radio ministry of Bible Way Baptist Church right here in the small town of Auburn. This is Pastor Tim thanking you so much for tuning into the program every Saturday and Sunday morning. It's great to have you along. We have been in a series now for the last 5 to 6 weeks on devotion to God, pathway to sanctification, a very important subject. I believe that we must spend some time talking about it within the context of the local church to help believers understand their place and their role within the body of Christ and their responsibility, if you will, towards God. I don't know that this is a subject that is addressed much. I've had some very profitable discussions on it with some folks from the church, and just in general, just talking about sanctification and why that is important. And so this has been a study in our adult Sunday school, and I've been reformatting it to fit into the radio program and the podcast. Now, this is based on Ferguson's book, Devotion to God, Pathway to Sanctification. And so much of the outline and format and so forth is based off of that with some additional commentary by myself. And obviously it's not done, you know, word for word, but enough of the meat is there to teach a lesson that'll help you along in your walk with God. The subject today is certainly one that comes up quite a bit. I know when I was first saved, it came up quite a bit because I struggled with sin. There's this knowledge of sin. You know, law came and sin revived, and through the law, there's knowledge of sin. And so through the working of the Spirit, which convicts of sin and leads you to the truth, i.e. biblical truth, and when you start studying biblical truth, then you realize what sin is, that you are a sinner, and that you need to get right with God. And then once you get right with God, how to stay in a place of God's favor. You know, we can, because of sin, grieve the Holy Spirit and fall out of favor with God in that regard. I think I mentioned it last week. I talked about the two positions, the standing and state. In our standing before God is we're justified, but our state from day to day may change. So the title of this lesson is the conflict zone. And I wanted to start first in Romans 7, and then we'll jump to the main text in Galatians chapter 5. So the first thing I want to say before I read these texts to you is that it is not uncommon for believers to deal with sin. It's not uncommon. There are those out there that are promoting and insisting on sinless perfection. None of them have ever achieved it, by the way. It doesn't mean that we shouldn't strive for perfection. He says, be holy as I am holy. So anyway, going back, there's an issue. We're dealing with the flesh. The old man rears his ugly head every now and then. Temptation, sin enters into our life. We have to deal with it. Paul talks about this in numerous places. I'm only going to go to Romans 7 and, of course, Galatians chapter 5. But the section is titled in my Bible, and it might be titled similarly in yours, but here it is titled The Struggle Against Sin. And this is what Paul said in Romans chapter 7, beginning in verse number 7. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law. For I had not known lust, except the law had said, Thou shalt not covet. But sin, taken occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence, for without the law, sin is dead. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment, which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. For sin, taken occasion by commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just, and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid, but sin, that it might appear sin, work in death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. Now watch what Paul says here in verses going forward. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is, and he's putting in a parenthesis, supplemental information here. This is important. It's in parentheses. He says, in me, but he puts in parentheses, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Clear explanation of the battle, the conflict, if you will, in each of us. Now, in Galatians chapter 5, and beginning in verse number 16, Paul says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to another, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. And then he goes on to give a list of things that are considered carnal or fleshly, and then those things later that are considered the fruit of the Spirit. The conflict zone. This is an area that we all struggle in from time to time, and the struggle looks different for each person. Some people may deal with covetousness, some people may deal with pride, others might deal with anger and lust, and you know, the list goes on. There's sin that dwells within our flesh. The good news is we're not in bondage to it. The good news is we've been set free and no longer are servants to sin. We're servants to Christ. But it takes discipline, and I think that's what Paul's pointing out here. Walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. It was said by somebody many moons ago. It was a book I read talking about dogs, and it was a comparison between the flesh and the Spirit. And the basic teaching of this illustration, or point of this illustration, was that the dog that gets fed the most will be the strongest. And Christians do themselves an injustice when they do not live in the Spirit or live by the Spirit. In other words, putting things in your life that are spiritual in nature. This idea, I don't have to pray, I don't have to read my Bible, I don't have to serve God, I don't have to go to church, I don't have to do this and I don't have to do that. I can just live how I want because I'm covered, you know, by the blood of Jesus Christ. It's a very careless attitude, a way of thinking that is certainly not going to yield a great many blessings, if any at all, in your life. So there's a conflict within ourselves, a seemingly endless battle, a conflict between spirit and the flesh. And so Paul's telling us here we need to live by the Spirit. And this was, again, something that I dealt with early on in my salvation, and most people that I talk to have, at some point in time, have questioned themselves on this reality of sin in their life. And Paul points it out here in the text that I read to you out of Romans 7, the law came and sin revived. That's why it's so important to have preaching that is Spirit-led, good you know, gospel preaching. You know, Paul told Timothy, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke with all, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine, for a time will come. And so the preaching of the word, exposing sin, exposing the failures and weaknesses of human nature, the flesh, and then really highlighting the strength of the Spirit of God, the Word of God, the presence of God, the Son of God, His intercessory work, His mediatorial work in our lives, and again, implementing all these things in our life so that we have an awareness of these areas in our life that are weak, that are lagging maybe, that might be dragging the rest of our spiritual life down and our potential as Christians. Because God can't use a person who completely immerses himself in sin. There must be repentance, a turning away from sin, a confession, a turning away from sin. There must be an acknowledgement before God that a thing is wrong and so forth. And so the author stated this, it's not a matter of avoiding sin. It is a matter of refusing the desires of the flesh while living in the power of the Spirit. And I like that. It's refusing what the flesh tells you to do. The flesh says on Sunday morning, you don't have to go to church, you're too tired. The flesh says that one drink won't hurt you. You know, the flesh says one puff on that cigarette won't hurt you. One more bite out of that food won't hurt you. You know, looking at those pictures, it won't hurt you. And the list goes on in terms of that. So we refuse that. And Paul talks about this. He makes no provision for the flesh. He's pretty clear on that. What we do is we tempt the flesh. We nurture the flesh. And then we get upset when the flesh bites us back. And so we've got to live in the power of the Spirit while simultaneously denying the desires of the flesh. He talks about negativity and positivity. And Paul puts it out there over the plate, waist high. If you're going to resist the desires of the flesh, that's negative. You will need to live in the power of the Holy Spirit and walk according to Christian disciplines. That's the positive. And then there it is again. Now, Ephesians is a wonderful book. We're in that on Sunday mornings. We're just getting into the first half of chapter one. But the number of references to the word walk in the book of Ephesians. Walk, it implies forward progress. It implies some movement on our part. Walk circumspectly, for example. Walk in love. These are things that we should be cognizant of on a daily basis. We're going to purpose in our mind and our heart that we're not going to displease God today, that we are going to serve God with our whole heart, mind, and soul, that we're cognitive of our weaknesses and not to put ourselves in a position where we will be tempted beyond what we're able to manage. And put a guard over my mouth, David said, you know, let me not look to the right or to the left, but let me look right on. David was very aware. He had a lot of self-awareness to his own weaknesses. And he also understood the need to go before God and pray and talk to God during these times of temptation when he would have fallen, you know, to his weakness or his desires. So several things to consider as we go through this lesson today. We talk about the first thing is there is more to the terms flesh and spirit as it relates to Christians. And what we should understand is that our flesh is made for this material world. It's suited to live in this world. The flesh, as we now understand it, will not inhabit heaven. So we have these bodies of flesh, and they're dying a slow death, just like the old man is dying a slow death. And someday these bodies will be changed. They'll be glorified. They'll be bodies that are fit for heaven, bodies that are fit for eternal fellowship with God. And so understanding that and taking this into account as well, that we are physical and spiritual beings. So in Scripture, for example, flesh can have a number of different meanings or shades of meaning. The skin, for example, or that which makes up our bodies, that's considered flesh, you know, flesh and blood. human beings in their weakness and frailty, or to put it another way, humanity, flesh, you know, the flesh of man or mankind, as contrasted with deity, who is holy, who is spirit. God is spirit. Human nature being in bondage to the power of sin and weakened by it and perverted by it. And make no mistake about it, and I should not have to spend a lot of time expounding this point to you. If you're aware of what's going on culturally, you're seeing it manifesting itself. Man is depraved by nature. His nature is not divine. It's not spiritual. It's not inclined to holiness or sanctification. It's inclined towards sin. And what human nature in its lost, unregenerate state desires to do is to have, you know, the best of both worlds. So they claim to it, they claim to know God or claim to be children of God and to follow God and to believe Jesus and even love Jesus. But they are totally in bondage or enslaved to their rebellion, their sin, their corrupt and polluted natures. Hence the reason why they don't like biblical preaching, because when you preach the Bible, when you preach against sin, say homosexuality or fornication or adultery or any sin that's listed in the Bible, there's pushback. And the pushback, why? Because the conscience is being pricked by the Spirit of God. Remember what the Spirit's sent to do, to convict the world of sin. So as you're preaching that word of God and the Spirit is convicting of sin, the natural man is rebelling against it. Why? Because he's in bondage to sin. His depraved nature is what drives his thought process. It's what helps him to, or I shouldn't say help him, it's what formulates his world view. And only the Spirit of God can set a man free from that. And so in many respects, we lived in, you know, in the last sense, in the flesh, because of human nature and its natural state, which was corrupted and powerless. You cannot change that on your own. Only the Spirit of God can do that. And we call that the new birth, regeneration. 2 Corinthians 5:17 talks about being made a new creature in Christ. And so this goes all the way back to Adam and the fall. And we are all likewise implicated in that fall. And as a result, we are alienated from God. This has been passed down from Adam, from generation to generation. That is to say, the depravity of man has been passed down from generation to generation. But the good news is we are no longer in Adam. We are in Christ, and Christ is in us. That is great news, and that's exciting news. That's one of the focuses, one of the areas of focus in the Sunday morning series in Ephesians. We are in Christ, and Christ in us. That's good news. And that's the way it should be. If you don't have the Spirit of Christ, according to Romans 8, you are none of his. So now, the next thing we consider is being in the flesh and spirit denotes two different periods in life for someone who has become a believer. Again, I'm following along with the outline in the book. So in short, the believer is now influenced by the Spirit, resulting now in a conflict with the flesh. Christ has come as the last Adam and reverses the sinful disobedience of the first Adam. So in other words, Adam disobeyed, Christ obeyed. Adam brought sin into the world, and Christ brought righteousness into the world. Adam brought death into the world, and Christ brought life. So being in the Spirit and no longer in the flesh represents a much larger reality. And Paul outlined this, as I read to you at the beginning of this message in Romans 7, the competing desires between the good and the bad. And this is a quote, and I don't remember, I didn't write it down, but it's a quote probably from the book, and I'll read it to you now. The reality is that the world of, the flesh once dragged me down into sin and death in Adam, but now I live in the world of the Spirit and have been lifted up into righteousness and life. I used to be a citizen of the first. I have become a citizen of the second," end quote. I think that's pretty significant. Because of the sin of Adam and our depraved nature, we were at enmity with God. We needed to be reconciled to God. And through Christ, we have been reconciled to God. And now our citizenship is in heaven. It's no longer in this world. And this is why we see the strong admonition, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, for all that is in the world. He goes on in Romans 12, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And James, friendship with the world is enmity with God. Why? Because we are not citizens of this world anymore. We are seated in heavenly places in Christ. And so we go back to this teaching on the flesh. Paul's not saying the flesh is no longer in you. He is saying that through the power of the Holy Spirit, we are no longer what we were, and therefore no longer under obligation to the flesh. And because of this, we are responsible to live in subjection. I like the word submission here. So subjection, submission, or dominion of the Spirit of God. The Lordship of Christ. What a wonderful doctrine that is, the Lordship of Christ. Paul mentions the Spirit and the flesh, and he tells us that these are competing for our lifestyle as Christians. This is an excellent point. We are faced daily with choices between walking in the Spirit and in the flesh. Both of these lifestyles are constantly vying for our attention and obedience. One honors God. One exalts Christ and is obedient to his word. And the other honors self, the world, and the lust of the flesh. Now that should help you, those of you that are listening. We are faced daily with the choice of walking in the Spirit and in the flesh. And these lifestyles are constantly vying for our attention and obedience. Only one of them honors God. Only one of them exalts Christ. Only one of them is obedient to his word. The other exalts and honors self, the world, and the lust of the flesh. To put it simply, the Christian life is a lifelong conflict. The gospel calls us to live in obedience under the Spirit in a world that is dominated by the flesh. Ferguson said this, "We may have given our whole lives to Christ, but it will take the rest of our lives to work that out in practice, and we can only do that by walking in the Spirit." Inevitably, the question of how comes into view, but before we go there, we're going to cover some things from Romans chapter 8, and then we're going to get into what the author calls the five R's. Recognize, realize, respond, and reap. And that will be the next lesson, next week's lesson. So take care and have a great day. Bye now.